So who remembers Dr. Seuss? Good, that's good. There's so many classics. You got Cat in the Hat, you got Horton Hears a Who, Hop on Pop, One Fish, Red Fish, Two Fish, Blue Fish. There's a Wocket in My Pocket, Oh Say Can You Say, and we can't forget Green Eggs and Ham. And just a random fact for you all that I came across, that there is actually 45 Dr. Seuss books that he published, and then he died in 1991, and three more were published after he passed away. So if anyone's looking for things to do these holidays, maybe you could read all of them. My favourite was Wacky Wednesday. We'd have reading time in primary school, and we'd have like our little corner, and I'd go and I'd try and find that one. Because it had really weird pictures, it was super strange, had really weird rhymes, and it was just confusing and wacky. Didn't make much sense, and it fascinated me. And I would say that this is true for most of the Dr. Seuss books that I've read. They're all a bit random. They ramble on and on throughout the whole book, and they make it a real tongue twister to stress a simple point that he doesn't like green eggs and ham. And on the back of one of the Dr. Seuss books I have at home, it says that Dr. Seuss makes reading fun. And I reckon that's a pretty accurate statement. So the passage we're exploring today reminds me a bit of a Dr. Seuss book. Not because it uses made-up words or because it has a wacky character, but because, one, I love to read it, and two, if I'm not concentrating enough, I get a bit jumbled and it becomes a bit of a tongue twister. So I'm going to read it out, and if you've got your Bibles with you, it probably is a good idea to read along with me, but we're also going to have it up there. So it's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, and it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has commanded us this, has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." So I read that and I think, okay, I got it. We need to love one another. God is love. God's greatest act of love was sending his Son to die for us. And if we don't love our neighbour, then we don't actually love God. And then there's all these other bits which seem really important, but it muddles you up because John's repeating himself sideways, upside down, and back to front. So that made me think, Dr. Seuss, primary school, the five W's. Always a favourite for working out what something is about. So first thing first, what is the topic of this passage? Any guess? Love, yeah, I think it might be love. So therefore, who is love? God, because God is love. What is love? God. It says in verse 10, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And then where is love? It's in us, because whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them, and God is love. If love is in us because of the Holy Spirit living in us, then it is here on the earth because we live here. God is also here, his Spirit moving, so love is here. When is love? Always. Because we have received the gift of salvation now and can rely on God's love, the love God has for us now. Just as God loves us now, so we need to love others now. Why is love? Because God is and God is love. We know what love is because God sent his son for us. Now, if you paid attention in school, and if you're a teacher, you might be thinking that I didn't pay attention, but I did, because that brings us to our H, which makes up the five W's and the H. So how is love? Love is shown through God. Love is given through God. Love lives in us because God lives in those who love. See, I'm already getting tongue twisted. But I want to focus on the last three, so I'm going to call them the three was and the two, and the one, no, wait, sorry. The two was and the one her of love. Can you all get that? Two was and one her of love. So two W's and one H. Okay. When do we love? We love always. And that is so much easier said than done. Because that means loving when it's easy, loving when it's hard, and loving when we really, really, really don't want to. So often we love with conditions. We're kind of like a store that only opens on weekdays and for limited hours on a Saturday, but only lets in people with blue shirts. We should love just as God loves, and that is always. The gift of love is always available, and it doesn't have opening hours, and it doesn't have conditions of entry. It's available for everyone free of charge. It also says that whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. If we're serious about loving God, then we need to love our brothers and sisters, and that means everyone, always. I used to work in the city, and I would catch the train in from Riddle. And as all V-Line travellers would know, the trains they're not flexible at all. I could either get a train that would get me in at around 7 a.m.-ish, or I could get a train that would get me in around 8:30 a.m.-ish. And I was able to start work at either 8 or 9. I wanted to start work at 8 because that meant I could finish at 4:30, which means I could get the 5 p.m. train home instead of starting at 9, getting the 6 p.m. train home and getting home after 7. Just wasn't ideal. So I chose to take the early train. And that meant that I had a good 40 minutes of time to kill before work actually started. Sometimes I would go in early, but, you know, not everyone likes to do that all the time. So often I would just walk around the area. And I liked to conduct social experiments, country people, us, versus city people. And so I'd walk around the block and I'd smile at people. And there wasn't that many people around, so you're lucky if you met someone. Usually they're walking with their heads down like this. They don't want any contact. But if you did manage to catch their eye and smiled, they thought you were a complete weirdo. And then if you said good morning, they were like, oh, and just got out of there. Rarely did I get a good morning back. I found that the only people that would say hi back were the nice butchers across the road. And they were always up for a chat. But I kept persisting because I wanted to bring some happiness to these random people I met. And it was really fun too, seeing their reactions. Then the office day began, and there were my work friends who were great. And then there were the people that just made work awful. There was one particular colleague who was horrible. And if you've seen The Devil Wears Prada, think of Meryl Streep. But if you haven't seen that movie, just think of someone who makes your work less than pleasant. I really struggled to like this person, and I found it very easy to just avoid them. Then God challenged me, like he likes to do, and he reminded me that this person was his child too, and that he loves them just as much as he loves me. And that just as I am going out of my way to be friendly to the random people I meet on the street, I need to be showing kindness and love to this colleague. I wasn't too pleased that God had brought that to light, because he was right, but this person was so hard to love. I had to keep reminding myself that all people, every single one, is a child of God, and God loves them, and he wants all of his children to know his love. This particular colleague soon left, and I think maybe she may have been fired, but I'm not sure. It's just hearsay. So I didn't have to try and love her too much. But this has stayed with me to this day. And every time someone frustrates me or I find hard to love, I'm reminded that God loves this person just as much as he loves me. And the grace that he has given me, he wants to give to them too. It's easy to love when people love you back, when people are kind, or people are giving you something in return. But loving gets harder when your sibling is annoying you, when your friend is being mean, and when your colleague is being ridiculous. And loving seems impossible to do, and not even an option we want to consider when someone is hurting us or someone we know, lying to us or about us, or is just genuinely an awful, awful person. We all have our moments, the good ones and the bad ones, and just as we expect our loved ones to love us always, in all of our moments, we need to love others, everyone, always. So when do we love? We love always. Now let's explore why we need to love. Why do we love? First off, we love because God first loved us. And how amazing is it that God actually loves us? Just take a moment to think about the awesomeness of that. We are broken, sinful people, yet God chose to send his son to die for us so that we could be safe from death and live in a relationship with him. That is a mind-boggling kind of love. And if God loves us that much, what can we do but love him back? Earlier in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." We are children of God. This love isn't just for us. This love is for everyone, all his children. Why do we love? We love because God loves us, and in response to this love, we live a life of love. If we truly love God, then we love others. When you love someone, you care about what they care about. If we truly love God, then we love those that he loves. If we truly love God, it doesn't just mean that we just tell God, "I love you," though I'm sure that he loves to hear that. It means we show love, our love for God in the way that we love for others. Also in 1 John it says, "My children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action." So like I said earlier, if we're serious about loving God, then we need to love our brothers and sisters, and that means everyone, and it means in everything we do. And if that isn't enough reason for you to know why we need to love, to convince you why we need to love, then this might. God commands us to love one another. And with love comes respect, and with respect comes obedience. We love God by being obedient to him. There are many times throughout the Bible, including the passage that we're exploring, that God commands us to love. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, it says, "Do not take revenge on others or continue to hate them, but love your neighbor as you love yourself. I am the Lord." In Mark chapter 12, verses 30 to 31, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." In John chapter 13, verse 34, it says, "And now I give you a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And also in Romans chapter 13, verse 8, be under obligation to no one. The only obligation you have is to love one another. Whoever does this has obeyed the law. So I think it's pretty clear why we need to love one another. But why does God want us to love one another? Christ died for all our sins so that all of us could have eternal life and so that he could have a relationship with all of us. As it says in 1 John, perfect love drives out fear. God is love, and the only thing powerful enough to conquer death is God, and God is love. When we love, we break down walls. When we love, we are confessing Jesus as Lord. When we show people love, we are showing them Jesus, inviting them to know his love for themselves that they might have a relationship with God. Okay, so we love because God first loved us, and he tells us to, and we need to do it always. So how do we do that? So how do we love? Well, the other day, I was sitting studying, and I was about 5 hours into a 6-hour unit. and I'm really fading. My brain is extremely full. I've got so much information, and I felt like I was just crawling to the end, where I could have a break and just, you know, eat or see someone, human contact. And I hear this buzzing. I'm like, what is that? And I look around, and right in front of me on the windowsill is a fly and a spider. And the fly is making the noise, and the spider is wrapping it in a web. And it's a very persistent buzzing. It was just, yeah, poor thing. Anyway, so the spider's just wrapping it around. Spider goes back in its hole. Fly keeps buzzing, comes back out, keeps wrapping it, goes back in its hole. Fly keeps buzzing. Spider comes back out. I was procrastinating really bad. And then finally the fly stops buzzing, and the spider drags it into its hole. And the fly was to be no more. You know, that was sad. Then I look up again, because I was really bored, and the spider's there. It's just sitting under its hole. Just, it was one of those black wolf ones. And then a fly kind of lands, I don't know, 5 centimeters away from it, and it just sprints to the fly, and the fly gets away. So the spider comes back, and it's just waiting. And then another fly comes, and it's another, I don't know, 4 centimeters away, and the spider sprints for it, and it gets away. Spider comes back, and it goes into its hole, and I can just see its head. It was really amusing me. I could just see its head. And I watched it for a while. And then another fly came, and it sprinted out, and it missed it. I was kind of feeling bad. And the fly goes back into it. The spider goes back into its hole. And that was it. I continued studying, then I finished. But I think sometimes as Christians, we kind of share our love like spiders when they're trying to get food. We either find someone who's ready to listen to everything we have to say about Jesus and how much he loves them, that we just like overload them. It's like the web, just like a lot of it. And then they start buzzing and we're like, here, more gospel truth. Here, more love. And it doesn't go so well, especially for the fly. And then sometimes we're like the spider hunting for food and we're waiting. And someone gets a little closer and we're like, oh, they want to hear. And we just run for them, trying to share this love because we want to, you know, we're told to. But then we come back and we just wait and we just sit there until someone else shows a little bit of interest. Well, I've got to say that I don't think it's a very a good method, the spider method of sharing love. So how should we love? We love when we know God's love. In verse 8, it says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If we want to know how to love, then we need to know God. How do we get to know God? Well, we read the Bible, we pray, we talk to him, and we listen to what he's saying to us. Well, that's good. It's pretty simple. But then it's all good to know something, but we need to be able to put it into action. How do we live it out? We love by living a life that reflects our love for God. In verse 9, it says that God sent his son that we might live through him. It also says that those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. God sent his son, yes, to die for us, but also as an example of how we should live. God is love, and if we strive to live a life like Jesus, then we are striving to live a life of love. Verse 15, it also says that God lives in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God. So if we are living in God, and living in God means living in love, then to love we must be confessing that Jesus is Lord. We love by telling others about God, about his love. But we don't do it like the spider does, by chasing people down. We do it by living a life for God, a life of love, living as an example of love for all to see. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, do everything in love. And that means our whole life. Our theme for youth this year is atmosphere. And our key passage is the one that we've just explored. We know that love is powerful because God is powerful and God is love, and that God's love has conquered death. My challenge for us all today and for this year is, how will you and how will we change the atmosphere? When you walk down the street, are you making a change in the atmosphere, and is that change love? When you're at work, are you making a change in the atmosphere, and is that change love? When you're at school and you're hanging out with your friends, in the class or in the schoolyard, are you making a change, and is that in the atmosphere, and is that change love? Our attitude, body language, and behaviour makes an impact, and whether we like it or not, when we come into a room, we do contribute to the atmosphere. Life is messy, and with it comes happiness, sadness, contentment, anger, joy, frustration, laughter, snickering, snobbiness, and good and bad smells. All of which, depending on the day and maybe what you've eaten, we bring these things with us into our workplace, our home, the bus, the gym, church, or wherever else we might go. And it's inevitable that we will contribute to the atmosphere, but it's up to us to make an active choice if we're going to change it. God's love does not require us to be perfect. He loves us, all the baggage included. And as we continue to love God and live a life through him, he will continue to help us through the baggage. So what I'm saying is that we don't have to be walking on air wrapped up in a love bubble to change the atmosphere to the atmosphere of love. We can be us, broken people who choose God, who choose love, and we can change the atmosphere. We change the atmosphere with our two W's and one H of love. So two W's and one H of love. When do we love? Always. When it's easy, when it's hard, and when we really, really don't want to. Why do we love? Because God loves us. We love him, and he told us to. How do we love? By knowing God's love, by living in God's love, and by telling others about God's love. How will you change the atmosphere this year to an atmosphere of love? What area of the two W's and one H of love do you need to focus on? Do you need to work on the when? Maybe there's someone who you're finding super difficult to love. Do you need to be reminded of the why? Maybe spend some time with God sitting and remembering the love he has for you. Do you need to work on the how? Maybe read your Bible more and actually put into action the truths you learn. Whatever it is, you're not in this alone. Every single one of us has something we need to work on. None of us are perfect. So this year, all of us together with God, let's change the atmosphere to one that declares the love of God, that confesses Jesus as Lord, and that has no fear because God is love and love has conquered death. We're going to spend a couple of minutes just in quiet prayer and reflection. You can pray with the person next to you or by yourself, that's fine. And then we'll have one last song. But let's bring on 2020 and let's all change the atmosphere to the atmosphere of love.